Today, stagflation, here we come. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics World, and this post covering finance and property news. Well, the US economy was slowing even before the brunt of any credit crunch stemming from the recent bank failures. And inflation has accelerated, highlighting the enormous challenges faced by the Federal Reserve. In fact, gross domestic product rose an annualized 1.1% in the first quarter, which is less than the median forecasts of 1.9%. And separate data last week on Thursday showed applications for unemployment benefits fell for the first time in 3 weeks. Continuing claims, which can offer insight into how quickly out-of-work Americans are able to find a new job, though were largely unchanged. A 3.7% annualized increase in consumer spending reflected gains in both goods and services, including a surge in the purchase of motor vehicles. Services rose 2.3%, led by healthcare, as well as restaurants and hotels, and spending on goods increased 6.5%. That's the most in 2 years. Business outlays for equipment posted the biggest drop, though, since the start of the pandemic, with a 7.3% annualized decline, and inventories subtracted the most from GDP in 2 years, lopping 2.26 percentage points off GDP. The slowdown was largely driven by an inventory drawdown, with an acceleration in consumer spending providing the main impetus for growth. Still, economists warn that the momentum slowed as the quarter progressed, and that's a warning sign for the current quarter. In fact, economists are currently forecasting GDP in the US at stall speeds of around 0.2% this quarter. Frustratingly for the Fed, the central bank's preferred core gauge of prices, which excludes food and energy, picked up to 4.9% in the January to March period. That's the quickest pace in a year. And meanwhile, a separate report underscored enduring strength in the labour market, with weekly jobless claims dropping unexpectedly. So it all adds up to a strengthened case for Fed Chair Jerome Powell and his colleagues to raise rates another 25 basis points at the May 2nd, 3rd policy meeting. And 2-year Treasury yields climbed on the bet. And it also suggests that there's a higher risk now of a stagflationary environment where the economy slumps while inflation sticks at a pace well above the Fed's 2% target. This data was the worst of both worlds, with growth down and inflation up, said Chris Zaccarelli, Chief Investment Officer at Independent Advisor Alliance. The Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, excluding food and energy, one of the Fed's preferred inflation gauges, rose 0.3% in March for a second month. And compared to a year ago, the measure was up 4.6%, the Commerce Department said. Consumption was weak late in the quarter, Morgan Stanley's economists said. In addition to weather pulling spending forward, less federal support to lower income households for food expenses also played a role in the tempering of purchases late in the quarter. And they said that they expect to see significant slowing in second quarter growth as the cumulative effect of tighter monetary policy as well as banking pressures push growth into negative territory. Inflation adjusted final sales to private domestic purchases, that's a key gauge of underlying demand, did rise the most since the second quarter of 21 after stagnating at the end of last year. And that figure was boosted by the consumer spending figures that we discussed. Futures traders showed investors putting about 90% odds of a 25 basis point rate hike by the Fed next week. That's up from 79% late on Wednesday. And inflation does remain stubborn, and along with the continued strength in the labour market, it would keep the Fed on pace for a May and potentially a June hike, said Cliff Hodge of Cornerstone Wealth. But actually, the real focus should be on the stalling credit growth issue, That's a clear leading indicator of trouble ahead. And of course, we're not just talking here about stressed players like First Republic Bank. In fact, banks increased emergency borrowing from the Federal Reserve for the second week in a row in a sign of the ongoing stress in the system. Last week, the New York Fed reported that the financial conditions in the region had deteriorated sharply. The trouble is rekindling concern that a credit crunch is actually underway, and it further complicates the plans for next week's Fed policy meeting, where officials have to figure out how to balance the risks of tighter borrowing conditions against stubbornly high inflation. Lending from US banks is poised to contract over the next few quarters. Amanda Lynam, head of macro credit research at BlackRock Financial Management, wrote in the note on Thursday, headwinds to profitability, including higher deposit costs, have seen bank spreads underperform relative to non-financials, she wrote. The blow to credit availability comes as the money supply shrinks, a sign that the spike in interest rates by the Fed is causing money to exit the banking system, shrinking the availability of loans. That could slow the economy, with economists suggesting it could herald a crash and, in fact, deflation. The Dallas Fed and the San Francisco Fed last week reported pressure on funding in their geographic regions, with projects being cancelled and non-performing loans expected to increase. Banks that posted quarterly results this month said they boosted provisions on bad consumer loans to levels not seen since the early days of the pandemic. For example, Capital One Financial Corp increased its provisions for credit card losses by more than 300% to $2.26 billion compared with a year earlier. And the firms have generally said that the rising provisions are just consumers returning to pre-pandemic norms. Well, they would say that, wouldn't they? Capital One also set aside more money to cover souring office loans as vacancies rise and many workers choose to work from home. Morgan Stanley had previously estimated that office property valuations could fall by as much as 40% from peak to trough, increasing the risk of defaults. Another emerging source of stress in credit is the leveraged loan market, as corporate borrowers with floating rate debt struggle to keep pace with higher borrowing costs. The amount of loans trading at distressed prices, defined as below 80% of face value, has jumped 26% to about $127 billion since the end of February. That compares to a 10% increase in bonds to about $488 billion. We believe the loan market, which has historically had a lower default rate than the higher yield bond market, will record a higher rate during this cycle, Armand Pearson and Daniela Pole, managing directors at Oaktree Capital Management, wrote in a memo last week. This is due to the covenant-like nature of most loans and the rising prevalence of loan-only capital structures. Meanwhile, company executives worldwide are talking about credit on conference calls at the highest rate since the pandemic hit. Some mentions include Evercore's chief executive officer noting an increase in restructuring and liability management business, and Peabody Energy Corporation saying the company had positioned itself to avoid uncertain credit markets. So the point I want to make here is that the leading indicators, like it or not, are for a slowdown at least and possibly a recession, but still with inflation sticky and high. And that creates this stagflationary environment, which is actually the worst of all possible worlds. And I suspect that there is no option now but to enter this phase. And if the US does, other markets will too. The bottom line is this: we are far from the end of this financial cycle. The cycle is going to drag the economy lower. Recession is very likely. And that means that financial markets, particularly stock markets, are way, way, way overvalued, which means only one thing. There will be a further correction. The question is just of timing, but it will happen. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.